We just got done with the last teaching series we had here. Come to Mike. We had we're talking about our identity in Christ, and we're specifically talking about several of these "Who I am in Christ" sort of statements from the New Testament. And I shared with you that there's something like 67 direct references in the New Testament about who we are in Christ. And that's one of them right there that Debbie just read. It's truths like, these are some of the ones we talked about. I am a child of God. I am free from condemnation. I am accepted in Christ. I am a minister of reconciliation. I am secure in Christ. I am God's temple. Those are just a few that we talked about. And we only begin to sort of scratch the surface of this pretty extensive and impressive resume that we have because we're in Christ. And the goal of that whole teaching series, that goal of all those weeks we talked about this, it was to learn and to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, because we sometimes have a tendency to forget about that. This is what I mean, is that when we begin to understand our true identity, and we begin to live it out, and we begin to actually believe that what God says about us is true, then our lives will change. Our lives begin to look differently than they were before. And it doesn't mean that sort of all our problems go away right away. You know, it doesn't mean that our suffering sort of goes away. It doesn't mean that rotten stuff doesn't sometimes happen in our lives, because it does. It does. But what we've been talking about is when we begin to understand our position of who we are as followers of Jesus, then we learn that when rotten stuff happens, we don't walk through it by ourselves, because we're in Christ. We forget that we're God's children. We forget that He loves us unconditionally. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a verse that I've referred to before, it describes this relationship like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. We're no longer primarily products of our past or our old lifestyle. We are primarily products of Christ's work on the cross. Because when Jesus died on the cross, everything changed. Everything changed. And all these years later, after the cross, things are still changing. He's still changing lives. And so, if you're like me, I need a constant reminder of who I am. Because we begin to walk through life, and we begin to forget, and distractions come in. And also things like, I don't know if you're like me, like I'll wake up in the morning and almost every day before I get out of bed, I'll just say a few simple prayers, you know, just sort of guide me through this day kind of prayers. And I'm all zealous. Every day when I wake up, I'm ready. I'm like, this is the day that Jesus, I'm living fully for you, 100% in. I pray that almost every day. And then, you know, an email comes or a bill comes, or, you know, somebody cuts me off on that highway when I'm driving to work, and all of a sudden I find myself less than 100% all of a sudden. And so I don't know about you, but I need that reminder all the time. And that's what that series was about. It wasn't like we're learning a bunch of brand new stuff, probably. It was just reminding ourselves of stuff we need to believe. So we don't forget it. And so one of the things I talked about several weeks ago was how can we remind ourselves of our position in Christ? What can we do? Are there things that we can do? And because it's easy to forget. And so I came up with this idea. I think it was from the Lord that we need to get back to the basics. Okay, I called them the basics, and I looked on the internet, and I'm like 7+ billion people in the world, and nobody thought of this before me. I don't know how I have this original thought. It doesn't happen very often, but get back to the basics. And so I made this little chart, and I'll show it to you in just a minute. I'll remind you of that. Getting back to the fundamental things that we should be believing in, and the fundamental things that we should be doing as followers of Jesus. And that'll help us to continue to believe about who we are in Christ. In fact, that's the first letter of the basics. Let me see if technology will allow me to get this graphic up there for you guys. And if I can do it, great. Is that it? Okay, so check this out. There's this little chart I made. And hopefully, I'm just going to try to leave that up there. We'll see if it goes off. No big deal. But over the next 6, 7 weeks or so, we're going to be talking about these, the basics. And you'll notice, if you can read it up there in small print, living out our identity in Christ. So we've talked about our identity in Christ. That's what we just got done talking about, right? All those weeks. And now we're going to talk about how we can live it out. And here's just some ways. This is not like the only way, but here's just some suggestions and ideas. Today we're going to talk about the first one, and that's believe. And that's where this sort of all starts, right? If we don't believe what we just got done talking about, if we don't believe that all the things that Jesus says about us is true, like if we don't believe any of that, then nothing else on that list matters. Because we can do stuff. I can read my Bible, and I can pray, and I can come to church, and I can give my money, and I can do all those types of things. But if I don't believe, if I'm not doing it with a heart like I believe in Jesus, that it's making an impact, then I'm just doing stuff. I'm just doing stuff, and I'm not sure that God's really glorified so much by that. In fact, I think he's got some pretty harsh things in the scripture he says about people like that, and I don't want to be one of those types of people. And I know you guys don't either. So today we're going to start this whole thing off by talking about the B in believe. What does it mean to believe about everything that Jesus says about us is true? Now let me just start by saying this. The most important belief that we have is the knowledge of who God is and the knowledge of what he has done for us. That is, he sent his son Jesus. He saved us from our sins. Jesus died on the cross for us, that we've been brought into his kingdom. That's the fundamental truth. I mean, if we don't believe that, we need to start there, right? We need to believe the gospel, that we've been saved. But once we're there, once we've believed the gospel, once we've entered into his family, into his kingdom, this belief is what I'm talking about now. It's assuming that we're already saved, okay? And it's now the second most important thing we can probably believe is, in light of what God has done for us, in light of the salvation that God has brought into our lives, in light of the light that we have, the second most important thing we can believe is who we are in light of that. How we want to live our lives in light of all that God has done for us. And I've said this before, and I just want to share it again. Listen, we cannot consistently behave in a way that is inconsistent with what we believe about ourselves. We have to believe that everything that God says about us is true, and we have to live it out. Because if we don't see ourselves like God sees us, if we don't believe that we are that all that God says we are, we will never really be who God wants us to be. And I think we've all maybe experienced that. The reason is because we have an enemy we're fighting against, spiritually speaking, the devil and the demons. And they're constantly trying to steal our true identity. Talked about this several weeks ago. It's like we struggle from spiritual identity theft, right? The devil's always trying to steal our true identity. They don't want us to believe who we really are. They want us to stay in a place where we're defeated. Because when we stop believing who we are, we get defeated. We forget about our identity in Christ. We may struggle to believe what God says about us. And that's just a lie. And because we're in a spiritual warfare, we're in a spiritual battle, we have to stand against that lie. We have to. Because if a lie is formed against us that is contrary to what God says about us, then we have to stand against it. We have to renounce it, and we have to believe God's truth. And we cannot let the enemy bind us and blind us to the truth of our identity. Here's a verse that you can see up there, 2 Corinthians 1:20-22. And we talked about this kind of extensively a couple weeks ago, but I just wanted to read it again. It says, "For every one of God's promises is yes in Christ. Therefore, through him, we also say amen to the glory of God. Now, it is God who strengthens us together with you in Christ and who has anointed us. He has also put a seal on us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment." We have to believe that everything that God says about us is true, that all of his promises in Christ are always yes and amen. So how do we do it? Let's get practical. And that's really what this series is going to be. It's going to be pretty practical. And I'll be honest, just let me give you a little disclaimer. It may be slightly uncomfortable. Why? Good question, Trent. I'll tell you why it might be slightly uncomfortable. Because When we begin to move beyond the theoretical and we move into the practical of living the Christian life, that's when things can get a little bit tricky, because theoretically we're going to believe all these things are true. Theoretically, we do believe it. If you believe in Jesus, yeah. But practically, living these things out, that's when it can get tricky. Okay? And so that's why I say it maybe get a little uncomfortable for you, and don't resist that. That may be the Holy Spirit kind of bringing a little conviction, like he does sometimes in our lives, pokes us a little bit with the truth. And if that's happening to you, pray about it and see if that's really from the Lord. And if it is, then ask him what does he want us to do? Surrender him, be humble to that, and allow him to do that as we move on here. So how do we get to the place where every day we're living out our identity as a child of God, and we're living out who we are in Christ? Well, through basics training. I was a little cheesy. Basics training, I don't know, whatever. It's living out our identity in Christ. I just want to read a passage for you. I'm getting old. I kind of like those cheesy jokes. Dad jokes, my kids call them. Oh, Dad. Another dad joke. Okay, so Acts chapter 2, a great little passage. Let me set this up for us. This is what's happening at the beginning of the church. So picture yourself 2,000 years ago, approximately. Jesus has resurrected. He has ascended into heaven, okay? And he's left his disciples, primarily his 12 disciples, sort of in charge of this brand new organization called the church, okay? He's gone, and that's what he promised to do. I'm going to leave, and it's better that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Well, Acts chapter 2 talks about the day when the Holy Spirit came, the day that promise of Jesus was fulfilled. It says all the believers were gathered in a place, and there wasn't that many, like in the hundreds, okay? It was just brand new, a little church. And so they all gathered in one place, and the day of Pentecost is what we often refer to this, when the Holy Spirit came and fell on the believers. And when the Holy Spirit came and fell on the believers, all sorts of new, brand new spiritual gifts and fruit and power were coming on the believers. They were speaking in tongues. There were signs and wonders. There was miracles. There was prophecies going on. All on this day when the Holy Spirit came. And one of the immediate things that happened was with a guy named Peter. And if you remember Peter, he was one of the 12 original disciples of Jesus. He was formerly a fisherman. Okay, he was formerly a liar. He was formerly timid. He was formerly sort of like scared and afraid to be a disciple of Jesus. And then something happened. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And in boldness, he stood up and he preaches this powerful message. Okay, this powerful, spirit-filled, spirit-led message. And he tells people, he's speaking to all these different people, and everybody's hearing the words in their own language, and all these miracles are going on, and Peter's speaking this amazing message, how people can become disciples of Jesus. And it says that 3,000 people believed the message that Peter spoke. They were saved, they were baptized, and they were added to the church. That's a revival, right? 3,000 people one day. So that goes from hundreds of people, a couple hundred people, to 3,000, to thousands of people in one day. That's an administrative nightmare, right? For like, what are we going to do? Oh no, got all these people now. And the cool thing about Acts chapter 2, and this is where I'm getting to, at the end of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, right after all these people, these brand new people believed in Jesus, they were added to the church, right? And it tells us what's the first things they begin to do when they're added to the church. Okay, so to me, I'm thinking, I'm reading this, and I've read Acts chapter 2 many, many times, and I was just struck, like, this is the first things they began to do. So these are probably important things to do, right? So that's kind of my reasoning. So all these new people, verse 42. Let me read a few verses to you. It says, I'm reading Christian Standard Bible. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. And now all the believers were gathered together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property, and they distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day, that's key, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house, and they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Pretty powerful passage. It's kind of going to be our theme verses as we go through this series. The first thing I want to notice here together with you is that the new believers, what were they doing? It says that they were devoting themselves. They were devoting themselves to the following things. We're going to talk a little bit more about this idea of devotion in just a minute. But for now, what I want to do is make a little quick list, just a little quick summary list of what they were devoting themselves to. Okay, here we go. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, they were sitting under the word of God. They were learning. Okay, and they lived in a day where they didn't have this. Okay, they didn't have these things. Nobody had a Bible. Okay, it wasn't complete yet. So how do they grow and sit under and learn from the word of God? Well, they went to places to learn. They had teachers teach them. Okay, it might be, in this case, it says they went sometimes house to house. They also went to the temple. They maybe gathered in synagogues. They began to develop brand new places called meeting places. The church would gather and meet together, and they would learn about the word of God. A teacher would step up, and they would like Peter, for instance, and they would begin to teach. So they were sitting under the apostles' teaching. They were learning from him, or learning from them, whoever the teacher was that day. Another thing, they were devoting themselves to fellowship, regularly meeting together with other believers. They were devoted themselves to breaking of bread. That's both sharing meals together and also communion, the Lord's Supper that we often do here on Sunday. They were devoting themselves to prayer. There were signs and wonders, miracles being performed. They were devoted themselves to sharing and giving, meeting each other's needs. They were devoting themselves to praising God, worshiping God daily with other believers. Wow. Okay, that's quite a list. And it's also quite an example for us to follow. And it's really the basis for this list right here. Because has anything really changed in the last 2,000 years? What the believers were doing then, these brand new believers, what they were doing then, should be the same things that believers are doing now in order to grow in our faith. So we need to be disciples who are devoted to the basics. And so what are the basics? I just want to take the rest of our time together and talk a little bit about this, the basics. So we've already talked about the B today, and really I didn't want to spend a ton of time on that because really the whole last series that we just got done was really that letter. It was really that B in believe, and that's sort of like the thing that sort of heads up all these other things. But if you notice the rest of those things on that list, those come right from Acts chapter 2, the list we just read. But here's a quick definition, if you care about what the basics are. The fundamental Spirit-led devotions that all believers should be doing in order to strengthen our faith and live out our identity in Christ every day. Mouthful. The fundamental Spirit-led devotions all believers should be doing in order to strengthen our faith and live out our identity in Christ every day. Here's the thing. We grow and we mature in our faith in the Holy Spirit by constantly engaging in the same kind of activities that they did in the early church. And again, other than that B in the basics, we've already read that list here. And I just had to rearrange them to make the acronym work. So forgive me, but look at those. So if you remember the list, and you can see them up there, I won't take time to read them. You can see all those things, and you can see that those come from that list in Acts chapter 2. So these things are basics, and I've said this before, but it's good to say it again. These things are basics in the sense of foundational things, okay? Not in the sense of elementary things, although I guess suppose they could be if you're a new believer, and that's fine. But even if you've been a believer for many, 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 many years, we should be all doing these things, not because they're the base, not because they're the elementary things, but because of the foundational things. If we want to grow and mature in our faith, these are the things that we should be part of our lives on a regular basis, and I want to say on a daily basis. Sometimes you may have heard these things referred to before as spiritual disciplines. And if you have and you like that phrase, that's great. And I'm okay with that as long as by discipline we mean to understand that as training or devotion rather than something negative and forced and legalistic. Because discipline can become those things, right, if we're honest. We can discipline ourselves to do something legalistically and, oh, I'm going to diet, right? So I'm going to legalistically force myself to not eat this or to do this or exercise. And then eventually if we do that, that's just not going to work. Our diet is going to get tired and our exercise is going to get hard and then we're going to quit. And that's sort of like the New Year's resolution type of discipline. And we don't want that. God doesn't want that. So if you want to use that phrase for discipline, I'm probably not going to use it that much, but that's kind of what I mean. But what I like us to understand about the word discipline, it's not a negative word. It just means training. It just means devotion. And so talk a little bit about that in just a second. What's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of doing these things? As we talked about in our last series, God's plan for us, I mean, if we kind of summarize, get down to the really, like, the core of what God's plan for our lives is, it would be probably just one thing, and that is to conform us to be like Jesus. That's what Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says. He wants to conform us, to make us like his son, Jesus. And then there's like a million things that he does to make that happen, right? And those are different in each of our lives. God is the one that brings about this change. It's important to remember that self-discipline alone won't make us more godly. It won't make us more holy. It won't make us more like Jesus. Self-discipline alone won't do that. Growth is always from the Holy Spirit working in us and strengthening us. And so when, as believers, the Holy Spirit is part of our lives and he's in there and he's doing his work, we need to be devoted to that process. We need to be devoted and submitted and humbled to his leading in our lives. And we need to be allowing him to train us spiritually that we can grow in godliness. And how do we do this? How should we pursue holiness? Well, a key verse for this is 1 Timothy 4:7. If you're taking notes, write that down. 1 Timothy 4:7, and it says this: train yourselves to be godly. Or some of your versions may say, discipline yourself to be godly. And there's that word, discipline. It means training. Devote yourself. There's another word we could use. Devote ourselves to godliness. Understanding that the Holy Spirit is in us and leading and guiding us, we work with him by devoting ourselves to spiritual training. With the end result, always with the end result of us being more like Jesus. Us being more conformed to the image of the Son. That's our goal, both in this life and the next. Because if you go through and you read the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus modeled every single one of those things for us. Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done. I challenge you to go through the scriptures and go through the Gospels and look at the life of Jesus, and you'll see him doing each of those things on a regular basis during his life and ministry. And so the next thing that leads us to in our notes today is that God commands us to do these things. If Jesus did them, well, God also commands us to do them as well. Back in 1 Timothy 4:7, that word discipline or training is actually a pretty neat Greek word. And again, I won't bring up the Greek word unless I think it's something really important that we can't miss. And that Greek word there is the word, let me try to fumble through it in Greek, gymnazo. It's a verb, gymnazo. What does that remind you of in English? Gymnasium. Yeah, that's exactly right. This is the verb form of that, and it means this: to train, just like you think, to train or to discipline or exercise as the Greek athletes did. Did you guys know this? That it was the Greeks who invented gymnasiums. They're the ones that built the first gymnasiums thousands of years before Jesus. Back in the BC era, the Greek Empire, they were building gymnasiums so that their athletes could come and train and get ready for their athletic games. And there were athletic games. You know, you read through Paul's letters in particular, he talks a lot about that, right? Training ourselves to be like athletes. And that's what this word is. The Greek amazing culture that the Greeks had. The other thing to notice here is this is an imperative verb. Uh-oh, what does that mean? Well, imperative means that it's a command. Anytime we read an imperative verb, it's something that God wants us to do. So when he says train ourselves or discipline ourselves, it's not a suggestion. Okay, it's not like if you get around to it, then you can train yourself. You know, he's commanding us to train ourselves, to discipline ourselves to godliness. And why do you think, just logically for a minute, why do you think God would have to command us to do this?
We have to
Yeah, because we don't want to do it, right? Like there's all sorts of things that works against us. And but listen, holiness, Peter says in 1 Peter 1, holiness is not an option. It says, be holy like God is holy, right? And every time you read that verse, you're like, I can't do it. And you're like, I agree with you. You can't do it. But the Holy Spirit in you can do it. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that rabbit trail. But just think about that, that God's Spirit comes into us and He makes us holy because He is holy. And that's kind of what God's commanding there in Peter. But Jesus expects, He expects action from His followers. To be a disciple of Jesus means to follow Him. And to follow Him is going to require a little bit of discipline and a little bit of training on our part. Spiritual self-discipline is one of the most evident marks of being Spirit-controlled believer, according to Galatians chapter 5. Now, what about the results of practicing these things, these basics? Now listen, discipline doesn't develop. And by the way, let me just stop right here and say this. And I'm not assuming anything about where you're at with the Lord. And I'm certainly not assuming that you guys are not doing any of these things. Don't hear me talk about. So when I'm just trying to remind us of these things, okay? So if you're like all in on these and other things, you're doing these things and you're like your walk with the Lord is solid and great. Great. So don't hear me say that. But if you're new in the faith, or if you're like, man, I need a little bit of a push, I need a little bit of a help. Well, that's kind of where I'm bringing this. This is kind of the heart I'm bringing that from today. Because discipline doesn't develop overnight, and it's certainly not going to develop in a 6 or 7 week teaching series. Discipline is a lifelong pursuit. And it's a pursuit that we partner with God, and we walk that road. We walk it. And sometimes we're focused, and we're on the straight and narrow, and sometimes we get distracted off the road, like Christian and Pilgrim's Progress. Sometimes we get distracted, and that's why we need to constantly be reminded of us. I want to read a passage. It's a little bit long. You guys, is it okay? You guys with me still? All right, yeah, I'm going to do it anyways, so. I mean, I got the mic, right? So, no, I'm just kidding. Here we go. 2 Peter, just listen. You can turn there if you want or just listen, doesn't matter. 2 Peter chapter 1, and it's a few verses here, but I think it's important. It's kind of talking about the results here, and I just want to read a little bit. It says this, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be richly provided for you. Pretty powerful little passage here, talking about our effort. He mentioned that a couple times. The things that we do, our effort. Being a Christian is not all about just sitting back and letting God do everything. Now, we can't add to His salvation. I mean, Jesus, God did everything for our salvation, But once we're in, once we're saved, then he definitely calls us and commands us to do things, to put forth effort to be who he wants us to be and who he's made us to be. And you'll notice specifically verse 6 here that we just read, he talks about a progression here. He says self-control leads to endurance or perseverance, which leads to godliness. Did you notice that progression? We need to have self-control, discipline, which will lead to, not yet to godliness, there's another step. It leads to endurance or perseverance, and then to godliness. Practicing these basic things with endurance and with perseverance will lead us into a life of godliness. Really, there's no substitute for this process, and there's no shortcuts, really. And the result of this type of life will lead to many blessings. And I know you guys have already experienced that in your life, and I know you will continue to do that. So the final thing to say here today, and we'll talk more about this as we go along, but we really should set our lives up to have a lifelong pursuit of the basic things. That should be our goal. It shouldn't just be while we're at church, and it shouldn't just be, you know, like in this series of teaching, it shouldn't just be part-time. We really need to set ourselves up for a lifelong, everyday, day-by-day sort of pursuit as our goal. And so let me just get really practical. And really, hopefully, as we go along through the weeks here, we're gonna get practical, and I'm gonna give you guys some suggestions, and I'm gonna give you some homework assignments to do. And I know it's summer, boo, but I'm gonna give you guys some stuff to do because I just think it's important. I really do. I think it's that important. So how do we persevere as we talk? How do we endure in this process of godliness, in this process of living our lives with these foundational things? Let me just give us three quick things that will help us. We've talked about a lot already this morning, and that's the Holy Spirit. We can't ignore the Spirit in our lives. One of the roles of the Spirit in us is to produce within us the desires and the power that we need to pursue these devotions that will lead to godliness. The Spirit in us will be faithful to help us as Christians, help us as believers of Jesus to persevere. He's going to help us in this process. And along the way, he's going to bring gifts and fruit and blessing and favor and love and mercy and forgiveness and all these things that we want in our lives. He's going to bring it into our lives every day as he's pursuing us and leading us and guiding us and helping us to be the people he wants us to be. And we have to respond by faith. Number two, and this one's actually so important, I'm going to bring it out now, but it's actually one, two, three, it's actually the fifth one on that list right there, and that's fellowship. I think it's so important. None of us should imagine that practicing these things, these foundational basic things, by ourselves, that is, apart from a growing fellowship of other believers, will ever lead us to the fullness of what God desires for us. We have to have each other. We have to. And you guys know that. You guys know that in your head, but you know what? You know that experientially, too, if you're honest, right? You're like, the times where you're strong is often when you're around other people, and you're doing these things in a home group or a Bible study or at church, and you're praying with somebody or for somebody, or you're studying the scriptures, or you're worshiping, and there's power in that because you're with a bunch of other Christians filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're all doing the same thing. We need each other. We need each other. We have to measure our progress in godliness, certainly in terms of our growth individually with God, but also in our growth with the fellowship of other believers. we're going to get to that in a few weeks, and man, put your seatbelt on for that one, because that's important. And here's a third one, and I really didn't want to put this on the list because you're not going to really want to hear it, but I think it's experientially true, and so I think I need to include that. The third thing that actually will help us grow in these things, I'm going to call it struggle. And you're like, what do you mean by that? Because when we pursue these things on a regular basis, we're going to experience struggle in our lives. We will experience struggle because there's a bunch of things that are fighting and combating against us and competing for our time other than these. These things take time. These things take effort. They take discipline. There's a bunch of other things that are competing with these for our time. And let me just mention a few. Maybe one or two of these things will hit home with you. Well, we've already said we're in a battle. This is spiritual warfare going on against each of us as believers. So the devil, the demons are fighting against us. Time is fighting against us. The busyness of our lives is fighting against us. I don't want to undermine that. We're busy people in a busy culture. But on the flip side of that, laziness is fighting against us. Complacency is fighting against us. A life of leisure is fighting against us. Television and sports and internet and all of these things that we have in our home and the things we carry around in our pockets that we just spend a ton of time on, these are the things that are fighting against this. And if we want to pursue these things, if we want to have discipline in these things, well, we might have to let some of those things go. We might have to. We might have to refocus and reshape our lives in order to pursue these things with discipline. Maybe. That's up to you. I can't answer that for you. But in a couple of weeks, I'm going to give you a little assignment. You can look forward to this. Okay, nobody's going to show up 2 weeks from now. I'm not coming to church that day. I'm going to give you something that I think is a help. I think it'll help us just to evaluate our lives in some of these areas. But let me just close with this one more thought. The victory that we're going to experience against those forces that are in competition with us, that are opposing us, the victory that we are going to actually experience and the growth that we're going to have in our spiritual pursuit of godliness is going to come down to it's going to come down to devotion, and it's going to come down to practicing, and it's going to come down to intentionally pursuing these things as the Holy Spirit leads us to do that. And let me just say that I need your guys' help, and I have a feeling that you need other people's help too in order to do that. So let's commit to a few things this morning. One, let's commit to just praying for each other. And you may want to pray for people by name specifically, or you just may want to pray generally for each other as you think about it. Maybe you sit down to read your Bible or to pray, and you may just say a quick prayer. Hey, God, please, give this same devotion to my brothers and sisters. Maybe you might want to do that and join with me as we do that for one another. And I'd encourage you to, I know that summer is a busy time again, and we're kind of traveling and different things like that, but encourage you as often as you can to kind of make it here as we talk about these things, because I think that I think they're important. I really do. I really think they're important, and so I want to do that. I just wanted to close right here by just showing you a couple of things that have helped me along the way. There's a few books that are that have been encouraging to me. Here's a good one right there. Keep reading that one. That's the Bible. And I kind of jokingly say that, but if you're ever going to just study anything, that's the one right there. And then if you have extra time and you want to study other things, Here's a few books that along these lines that have helped me over the years. One is a really good book. It's called Kingdom Churches. The author's name is Mark Perry. He's actually a pastor down in Arroyo Grande. I think it's Arroyo Grande. What's the name of his church? Everyday Church. Yeah. Is that in Arroyo Grande? Yeah. Okay. So down there, Mark Perry. Excellent book right there. Challenging, but really good. Here's another one. If you've ever heard this author, Jerry Bridges, he's got a bunch of books. His probably most famous one is called The Pursuit of Holiness. But this one is really good. It's called Growing Your Faith. Subtitle is How to Mature in Christ. That's an excellent book right there that will help you. Really pretty readable. It's pretty readable. Encourage you to that. And then here's one, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Don Whitney. And again, discipline, training, spiritual training. Very, very excellent book. Very helped me over the years. So just three things. I'll leave these up here if you want to check them out. You can't take them because I know what happens when people take books and never get them back. And these are ones I don't want to lose. But if you want to copy down the name and order a copy for yourself, I'd encourage you to do that if you like to read. So let me pray for us. And I think we got another song or two to sing as we close up here. Father God, I just love you and just want to say thank you. I want to thank you for just giving this word today. I just oftentimes feel like a little unqualified to do what I do, and I know part of that's the devil whispering in my ear, and I know part of that is my own laziness as a human. But I just want to just publicly say thank you for using me, and thank you specifically for this word today. That we can continue to grow and pursue godliness and holiness by doing a few practical things, by coming to church and reading our Bibles and praying and worshiping, giving, serving, loving people, fellowshipping with each other. These are the things that are just sort of the foundational things that you want us to do. And I would continue to ask for your help for each one of us here today, that we might be stronger in these things as we grow through this, as we talk about these things, and it will be practical, that we can not only learn new stuff, but we will begin to do new stuff, that we will begin to pursue these things practically. And if you need to take stuff out of our lives, like distractions, and even though that's hard, just pray that you will do that, and we will be willing to allow you to do that. And that we will seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to us. And we will take it in that order. So help us to do that. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. So help us with that. And we thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being in our lives and helping us as we pursue a life that looks more and more like Jesus every day. Amen.